Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Vagabond Dilemma, featuring my braggadocious host, Rudy, and, well, me, Henry. On today's episode, me and Rudy share our grievances about a major world event that happened recently, while also covering one of the greatest historical figures of all time. Let's get into it. Enjoy.
Yeah! We're back! Singer! Yes, we are here! We're doing this today! Bless your ears, bless your faces, bless your body, because we are bringing the Holy Spirit!
Alright, I think I will unfortunately have a lot of trouble editing the last two episodes, because both times the clap was kind of scuffed, but...
Listen, on my end it was just fine. It was just fine, and just so fine as you today, Henry, are. Sheesh! And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to one and only Vagabond Dilemma, where we talk about missing explorers, or missing pieces of equipment who can be counted as explorers, or missing mysterious cases that can be explored, or anything to do with exploring! And then we talk about it, we discuss it, we talk about it again, and we come to a conclusion! And that conclusion can turn into resolution!
What the
Holy
hell?
Shit, this might have been my best intro pitch in, like, the old episodes we've ever done.
I don't know, that was a high-energy one. I wouldn't necessarily call it the best one, but...
Oh, okay, way to bring down my energy, buddy. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You should be.
You were gonna do the rest of the pod on this level of energy?
Hell yeah!
Alright, I'm sorry then, I guess. Like, I don't know, I don't have much to say.
You know what, I can go rewind five seconds ago. Henry, give me some small talk!
I bought a snack that I liked. It was good.
Wow, so interesting! So fascinating, even!
Oh, okay, on a real note, I did buy a snack. I've already kind of talked with you about it, Rudy, but I will just talk about it again, because I am passionate about this snack. It's egg rolls. We went to the Asian supermarket. I got, like, dried egg rolls. I was not expecting much, but it was kind of like a pancakey type of rolled up cookie, and it was very tasty. Although I will say it was very crumbly as well, and I struggled. Like, it came in like a plastic tray, right?
Yeah.
And when I ate them all, I wanted to eat the crumbs as well, because, you know, it's just yummy crumbs. But the tray is, like, made in a weird way, so I took it, tried to pour it in my mouth, but I don't know why, it just fell all over me instead. And because, like I said, it's very crummy, it just went everywhere, essentially. It was really annoying.
No.
So for the second time, I was smarter, and I just put it on a plate, and then I ate it.
Smart boy. We stand a smart king.
Exactly. That's learning from your actions. That's that.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
That crazy shit, you know.
And actually, you know what we kind of... I don't know if we should talk about this, but I want us to slander it.
Okay.
And we didn't do it in the last episode, although we maybe should have, because that's way closer to the happening of it. But Eurofuckingvision.
Oh, right. I actually was thinking of slandering it last episode, yeah, but...
Yeah, so, I know, it's been told, it's been known, that some people think, but those some people don't count in my life, but some people think that I apparently have too much of an ego, whatever that would mean.
Okay.
And
anybody you
want to
call out in particular with this?
Oh, okay. No, I'm not going to go, because there would have been a lot of bleeps out there right now.
All right, hit me with one and I will bleep it.
Henry Meiser.
This is so fucked up.
However, how conceited do you have to be to go to Eurovision, have a banger, Euphoria, na 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 na, win with that song, then after 5 years down the drain or something, you're like, you know what, that was such a banger, I'm gonna sample this song, which is my own song, go to Eurovision again, and win with it again!
Yeah, I am not a big fan of the result, unfortunately. I did see online afterwards that next year was the 50th
anniversary
of ABBA.
ABBA, yes.
So that is basically probably a lot of judges voted for that, so that can be a thing in Sweden next year, which I find a very, very lousy way to do your job, essentially.
Yeah, I don't But that's the thing. I wouldn't say that the song itself was bad. Obviously, it wasn't bad because it was sampled on a very good song. However, for a contest like Eurovision, considering the circumstances, like, the hell.
Yeah. It's just like, come up with something nice instead of, like, just your, like, average. Like, I don't know. I read this comment and I agree with it in that, like, Sweden writes songs for the jury. And I find that very boring, essentially. Nobody wants to actually listen to that shit because it's just not that interesting. And if you disagree with me on this,
take a hike.
Yeah, that's right. Get out. But, you know, that is kind of the reality of Eurovision, you know. A little bit of politics, a little bit of haha, the jury sucks always, so go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It truly is.
I mean, this was the first time I actually got to watch Eurovision, you know, from start to finish when it was live. Because usually I just rewatch it, or I already told you to you. But my memories of Eurovision always was because I have very responsible parents when I was a child. So whenever Eurovision came on, I was, by the time it was midway or something, I was always sent to bed. I never watched Eurovision as a child because my memories of it was like, oh, it's a thing that every parent will watch, but I have to be in bed by then.
Right.
Because somehow, usually always was either actually fallen into like a work day or maybe my parents also, I don't remember this, but maybe on the weekends they also were like, you know, in bed by 10.
I mean, I will say I did not expect it to run as late as it did. And when you're in Latvia, it will run even later, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Technically, so I do understand it,
but also, it's at least half of it is just the scoring.
Yeah, but I think it's both part of the intrigue, in a way. Maybe that's a bit of an L-take,
but... The songs themselves, we actually got through way faster than I expected, because I remember I watched with you, and then at some point I was like, no way, we already listened to 18 songs. Because we were just bantering about it, and I was like, holy shit, it's 18 songs already, huh?
I mean, they do push through it fast, but I think that's good. I think it's the format in which they do it, I think it's organized, like, quite well. Just get the songs out there fast, have listened to everything, and then you can just do the scoring. I mean, you need time for scoring as well, you know? So, I think, organizationally, it's good. But, you know, the voting... Did you know, actually, and we probably shouldn't ramble on too long about this anymore, but I don't know if you saw this, but Sweden got 0 12-point votes from the audience. Did you know that?
No. But that explains a lot. In a sense, it shows a lot.
Yeah, they did get, I mean, the thing is, of course, they did still get, like, the second highest audience vote.
Yeah.
Which means that they got a lot of 10 points.
Yeah.
But... Finland got, like, a lot of 12 points from the audience, essentially.
So, I like Finland's... Like, I like the song's first half.
I prefer the first half, but I like the second half now as well. I've grown to like it more as a whole.
Okay. I haven't re-listened to the song since I've heard it on Eurovision.
I actually have a couple times, because I think it's a fun song. And I like the performance. Also, the first half with, like, the big shadow man in the back, I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
But I think it looks really cool, like, that effect, so I rewatched it a couple times.
Well, if you enjoyed, why not?
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, Sweden, sorry as a country. Producing songs.
Yeah, whatever. We're not going to stoop to their level, because we talk about it, we give them platform to grow. Let's just... Whatever we said in the last 10 minutes, delete it. No Sweden, no nothing.
I like this, like, platform to grow as if they need to grow based, like, from our podcast.
Oh, of course they do. They're so... Like, they're just asking for it, begging. Like, those freaking annoying fucks. Anyhow, back into the energy. Today, and only today, we are gonna go on a voyage, Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And... Once again, I did a small snafu, a small special episode.
No, Louis.
Yeah. About somebody who might not be conventionally known as explorer, however, has paved the way into the grand book of great tales that do imply voyages and exploration.
Right.
Quite the legend. And you will like this person for one specific reason, I feel like. I don't know if you have looked at the list of where I put what I'm going to talk about today. You
did. I did not, because I prepared my episode a long time ago.
Okay. So, care to wager what will our hero today be called?
Henry?
Yes!
Henry Avery, perhaps?
Oh, how did you know?
Because I think I added him to the lists, like, a while ago when I was looking for new people we could potentially cover.
Exactly, it's Henry Avery. The legendary pirate? Question mark?
So I see you're covering this exactly how I put it in the document?
Exactly. Point of point, yellow marker over it? No, but I feel like Henry Avery is one of those pirates that I, because I watched a lot of pirate documentaries, know about. But in the main media, I never, or in the pirate movies, never heard about. Nobody talks about. Although I feel like he should be the legend, because if you think about pirating these days, mm-hmm. you think about life on the sea, a lot of plundering, a lot of treasures and whatnot. It's life of a free man, right?
Right.
However, if you look through the lens of realism, in reality, pirates were just scoundrels of the sea, and rarely did they actually get what you see in the movies in gold, right?
Right.
There's a reason why they're always depicted in scrawny clothes and basically bony as fuck because they don't have anything to eat. Because yeah, yes. Life of charm, but in reality, to be a successful pirate was almost impossible. Because even if you succeeded at one, like, plundering, the whole country was on you, like, at the time, probably British Empire. And to do it successfully twice, it was almost impossible. To survive a docking of a ship was already something to be told in legends about. The reality was way more harsh than it is depicted in the movies, is my point.
Right, makes sense.
Which is why Henry Avery, to me, is a great legend, because he, according to some historians, has succeeded at history's most successful ship plundering. And you'll find out why, whilst I, you know, join me through his escapades.
Okay, looking forward to it.
Exactly, let's go into it. Bold Arial font background.
Stop.
Born in England, 1659 or 1653, because at the time, I guess, didn't keep world records, so there's somewhere in that area, you know, in the age of the years. Yeah, and due to multiple clashing sources, not much is known of his early escapades. However, it can be said for sure that he served on multiple Royal Navy ships and some unlicensed slave ships. Wah, wah, wah.
UK moment?
So cringe, honestly.
Okay.
Because, okay, to be... I already spoiled that towards the end of this he's going to become a pirate, right?
Right.
But pirates back then, for example, Blackbeard, was known to have comrades or people employed on his ship based on their skills, not skin color, meaning right. they somewhat abolished slavery when it comes to piracy. Right. So to be a pirate and still do slavery, it's an L take. It's a real L take.
But that was in his early years.
I'm not sure that it ever stopped. Because okay. in some depictions of him in pictures, he's sometimes depicted with a leash and a black man at the end of it.
Jesus Christ. Okay, well, noted.
Noted? You actually noted it down in notes?
I mean, I didn't, but if you want me to, I could.
In 1694, he was the first mate on Charles II, a 46-gun Spanish ship that had a license to attack French smugglers based around Martinique. Due to some promised but not received payments, he and the crew mutinied, and so the ship, with Henry as the new captain, was renamed... Henry, why would you rename a ship that was named Charles II?
Charles III.
That's what you would think. He renamed him Fancy.
Well, that's fancy.
I guess he fancied the ship. Ha ha ha! There's two singers.
So also, rather... Martinique is the location relevant or just? Is that
I mean,
the Caribbean?
Okay, I must say there's a lot of story. There's a Wikipedia page for this man is a lot. Mm-hmm. So I employed our dear friend, the third co-host of these episodes, ChatGPT, to concisely write this out for me.
Okay, okay, we see this is that academic conflict that they were talking about.
It wasn't, honestly, because sometimes when I felt, because ChatGPT for me really concise in like 3 paragraphs, and then sometimes I went back where I was like, I need more context for this, I went back to the Wikipedia page and then added more, so I would feel like my text here is like 50-50 from written from Wikipedia. And
But so Martinique is Caribbean, or was that South Africa?
No, I actually am not sure, but I believe it should be Caribbean.
Yeah, it's Caribbean. Okay.
Yes. So yeah, there was a whole story that he was supposed to receive some kind of payment. The whole ship was supposed to receive a payment for something that I think is slave trading, but they didn't. And so they mutinied, blah, blah, blah.
Understandable.
Yeah. And rather quickly, Henry became one of the most feared pirates of the Red Sea. In fact, his reputation gave him chance to organize, which is actually quite an extraordinary feat. He organized a pirate fleet, which is rumored to be 6 pirate ships total in its glory days. And if the brazen and unorganized characters that pirates are depicted in the movies are anything to go by, such a feat is rather remarkable, because it's already a feat to organize a single pirate crew to be somewhat, you know, effective. To have a fleet of pirates, it's close to impossible. And I feel like he only succeeded at this because he was such a feared pirate. And the window in which he was a pirate, like year-wise, it's a window of 2 or 3 years. But he gained such a reputation that people are like, you know, if you're part of his crew, you must get some good shit. You know, that kind of stuff.
Right, and, that's not a bad reputation.
Some other pirates whose names I didn't write down because I don't know how much people know about these. But if you look up some of those ships of that fleet, actually had some very famous pirates on. So he was like the Don of them, you know, the mafia boss, Kingpin. So anyhow,
okay.
So this fleet obviously allowed him to attack even the most armored ships sailing between India and the Middle East. And now we come to the I like this phrase so much because I use it so much in this podcast, but the King Jewel, you know, like the main thing, the main plot twist.
Right.
So the biggest catch that Henry ever succeeded at was his siege of Ganj Sawai, which was a part of Mughals of India convoy of ships. So basically, it's a treasure ship. It's a trade ship that is moving a lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of jewels.
We love a little bit of gold, don't we?
Exactly. So how it went down was, the convoy saw Every's fleet approaching, and they scattered, obviously. Every continued to pursue them, but the nightfall stopped him. In the morning, lo and behold, only 2 ships were still within Every's reach. After a short fight, the smaller one, Fateh Mohammed, surrendered, but the bigger 40-cannon ship, Gang Sawai, resisted for 2 hours, until, unfortunately, a cannon exploded and damaged the ship even more. So the crew had to surrender. And that's exactly how it goes down. Like, he's remembered as, you know, there must have been some organizational skills, and he probably was very smart in the fight. But there's a big factor of this that they also, the enemy ship that they tried to, board, kind of took a big L.
Right. I mean, that's just kind of part of...
And now listen to this, is why it's considered the history's best plunder. It is believed... Okay. That pirates counted around 600,000 pounds of gold, silver, and jewels. Each pirate received 1,000 pounds, which back then was equal of 80 years of honest sea pays.
Not bad. You can go into retirement.
Exactly. It's really not bad. But here's the kicker. Funny you talk about going into retirement. After this kind of escapade, they pissed off India so much that India almost waged naval war against British Empire. Because to India people, it was just like, oh, these were like ex-British Navy, you know, people. Because yes, they're pirates, but they fly on, they sail a stolen British Navy ship.
Right.
So India's like, you either deal with these or we literally like what the fuck is this now?
Right.
And British Empire is also pissed off because, wow, now we have this political conflict on us because of this one escapade. Because back then, these kind of ships, it's like, you know, once in half a year, this ship sails across the ocean. So if that gets stolen, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, makes sense.
So they are forced to go into the retirement because now they have to hide. So every disbanded the fleet, as many pirates, even on the flagship, decided to retire. With Fancy and leftovers of the original crew, Henry sailed to the Caribbean, where in New Providence, he bribed the governor for protection with £7,000. Later, he also tried to buy a pardon from Governor William Beeston, too, but he did not succeed. So, protection, yes, a pardon, hell no. Grand Mogul made a £500 bounty on his head, and so he was not welcomed in the Caribbean and the English colonies anymore. But at the time, if you remember, there's basically the civil world. So he's banned from everywhere.
Right.
He changed his name to Benjamin Bridgman.
Okay,
and
good one.
And with leftovers of the crew, sailed to Ireland, which, to me, seems kind of a, in a sense of a genius plan, because you wouldn't look for infamous pirates so close to British Empire. Like the capital of it, at least, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
And, however, some of his crew were captured and hanged, but not Henry. He escaped and vanished into obscurity.
There you go.
So, do tell me, Henry, where did our friend, well, Henry, went off to?
Well, I know exactly how the sugar baked, quite frankly. So, you said Ireland?
Yes.
You said he was rich as hell, right?
He was rich as hell, yes.
So, you know, goes with the crew, or whoever's left, I guess, to Ireland. Sets up shop and is like, I have a lot of money. Time to get spending, quite frankly, right?
Okay.
So what does he do? He's like, my favorite meal is fried potato.
Okay.
AKA a French fry.
Oh.
This has nothing to do with the French, he just likes fries. So what does he do? He buys a bunch of potato fields, right? Becomes a potato tycoon, quite frankly.
That would be half violent with the money he had.
Exactly. Which directly led to the Irish potato famine, right?
Oh my god!
And here's the kicker. Because internationally, this was known because of the English colonization, right, of Ireland?
Yeah.
I don't know the exact background, I will say. But I thought it was something like that. That the Irish had to ship all their food to England. But basically, this was Henry making the English look bad again by him taking all the potato supplies and then therefore blaming it on the English again.
It's a ploy.
It's a ploy, it was, to make them look bad. Because the English never did anything to make them look bad, surely.
Surely.
So there you go, he caused the Irish potato famine.
I like this idea, I like this a lot. However, I know. What kind of... I hate to do this every time.
Do you?
But I know exactly what happened.
I feel like you love to do this.
You're right. I love to do this.
All right, go on then.
Nah, I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna. Yo, Henry, you're so nice. I'm gonna.
Oh, go on then.
But as a pirate, imagine seeing the loot at the time he actually boarded the ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was there like, oh my god. This could all be mine. Mine. Gold fever hits right there. Dragon illness. Everything that's shiny. Mine. But he's a smart man. He's like, obviously, if I don't give some of that bling bling to the crew, they're gonna mutiny against me. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna have nothing. So there's something has to be done. Which, by the way, I did tell you, £600,000 of gold, and yet every member of his crew receives only 1,000?
I mean, you said that's 80 years worth of
True, but at that point still, like, what's a pirate crew? Let's say around 60 people, right? Or even more, whatever.
Okay, for one ship or for the
whole
thing?
For one ship.
Okay.
And that's like 1/10, if you pay 1,000 per 60 people, that's 1/10 of what they actually got in gold.
Right.
Well, anyhow, but this guy, he's a money grubber. He's like, holy shit, okay, I'm gonna give you it now, but you fucks, there's no way you're gonna spend all of it. One by one, I'll find you and steal it back. So, they disband, but he's like, oh, farewell. What if I want to meet you, like, visit, and, like, when we get old or something, where are you gonna go? Where are you gonna live? And the guy's all in good health, because it's pirates, it's a brotherhood, right? They're like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna, you know, go some Miami or casino, Monte Carlo, some shit like that. Oh, right. Okay. And he notes it down. Because he's an ex-Navy guy. He knows how to keep a good logbook. He knows how to read. Probably pirates most of the time were illiterate. This guy, no. He knows down. Well, he says, I know down the address to know where to visit and what to look for. But since reality, it's like a checklist where it's like one by one that's going to be checked off. Then, with the people who are still on the ship, who didn't disband, he's like, you know what? It's probably safer to keep the money in that chest or whatever, right? I'm gonna you have your 1,000th share in there. And you're gonna get it. It's like, well, why would you carry? Like, imagine how many gold coins you can stuff in your pocket. You can't stuff all your share there, so just keep it in. Like, we're gonna, you know, you can stay in the Caribbean. You can take the share then. And here's a ploy. He's like, okay, I have to somehow make a plan of trying to get rid of them, but, like, you know, all in a one snafu. So I'm gonna bribe the governor of New Providence to say that he didn't give us the pardon, so we have to run from him, right? So he bribes him, and in reality kicks, like, you know, also slits his throat and back the gold.
Okay.
And then they go to Ireland, where Henry knows they're going to be found, but he already has a plan on how to escape, but he doesn't tell that to his crew. And so the crew is caught by the British, get hanged, and Henry's there, yidi yada, just, you know, skipping across the fields with two big chests, and he's like, oh, life starts now. He buys himself a castle in Ireland, because there's, like, many of those. It's, like, all over the place.
Right.
Sits somewhere in a castle, on this pile of gold, and he's like, okay, now by one, we start going down the list. And so, Henry Avery, by now the name of Benjamin Bridgman, is a mass murderer across the whole world, finding the ex-crew members, killing them, and just getting everything they have shining in their house. And by the end, it is rumored that he becomes so rich, so powerful, but he doesn't want this gold. He becomes cursed of this addiction of his,
Right.
And every pirate has to have a lair, but he's like, well, I mean, it's Ireland. What am I going to do? But luckily for him, somewhere nearby is Scotland. And what does Scotland has lochs. And there's one specific one that at the time rumored to have a monster in it. Loch Ness. So, and Loch Ness, everybody thinks that Nessie is a dinosaur. But Nessie is just a dragon living underwater. And everybody knows what dragons love. Gold. So our pirate brother goes to Loch Ness. Dumps all the shit underwater. Because he knows a dragon will die before it will part with any of the gold coins in his possession.
Right.
Because at the point he's like, you know what? I'm going to probably kick the bucket anytime soon because I'm old. I got the scurvy or some shit. But I'll be fucking damned if somebody else gets this gold. So he dumped it in there.
So it was all for nothing.
Well, it was to make a statement, which is feel like it's better than just to spend it on a casino, you know?
You know, I will say, like, spending, like, years conspiring and plotting to get, like, the absolute minuscule amount of the share that you gave to your crew seems so unnecessary, yet so apt for someone that just became extremely rich, you know?
Exactly. But, there's another story which, you know, might be believable, might be not, but, if you go way back.
Yeah?
Like, way back. Way back. And look into the roots.
Yeah? Like long ago, basically.
Yeah.
Like way, yeah.
Yeah. The original idea of capitalism,
mm-hmm.
quoted by somebody named B. Bridgman.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Corrupting the world with his addiction to gold.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was our boy, the pirate.
He invented capitalism?
Because what are Americans with their capitalism these days if not pirates of the money?
True.
Of the financial world.
So what did he write in his book? What if I get to spend money and you don't have it? Question
mark? It's a pyramid scheme if you think about it.
If you make money and give it to me, then eventually you can say the same to other people and they give you money.
He opened a business where he was like, yeah, so I have the clout now. I have done this, the most exquisite, you know, pirate thievery ever done in history. So I know the shit. Come invest in money and, you know, we can deal something. And it was just
right.
Shell organizations all over Ireland and then just dumping in money. And then later on goes, oops, bankrupt.
He started a consulting firm, essentially.
Basically for pirates.
You know, oh God, wait, I forgot what I... Well, I had two things I wanted to say. First of all, do you think the original pyramid scheme started, like, in Egypt, where it's like, if you bring me three rocks, or what is it? You recruit three people to bring me rocks? No, wait, fuck, how does a pyramid scheme work? You recruit other people, right?
Yes.
Or you get other people to buy in. So you give
yes.
me a rock, then find other people to give you rocks.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Suddenly they had way too many rocks, and then they just fucking stacked them all together.
Hell yeah, exactly how the pyramids were built. Pharaoh just goes out of his castle like, well, that worked way better than I thought. I just kind of like a funny thing with the priest, you know, joking about the rocks. And then he was looked at the shape, he's like, you know what? When I die, I want to lie underneath that.
So true. You know, this looks kind of comfortable as my last resting place. And the other thing was just the image of, like, let's say all the crew walking around on the Caribbean, and like there's British Navy officers like, but how do we find these guys? Meanwhile, in the background, you just see someone walking around in like full gold outfit with golden teeth and shit. Like, and they're like, just how do we find these guys? It's just not possible.
Or maybe they became and corrupted the British government because they bought into it. They bought their way into the government. Because Henry's like, I will become a free man, so I pay a fuckload of money to get into the government. And in the end of the day, like after 5 years, all of his ex-crew is the parliament.
Well, that's a cheeky pirate heist, just stealing a country, essentially.
Actually, a whole colony.
Not bad.
Whole empire.
You know, really, I have a different idea, though. I think he may have played the long game, the extremely long game, quite frankly. Because, can you tell me once again which years he was active and this happened?
This, I'm not going to be able to tell you the years when this exactly happened.
Or just when he was born again? It was 1850-something, right?
I would say this was in the cusp of 17th century, or 18th, so 1700.
This was in the 1700s.
So, the year 1700 is around the time that this happened.
Okay. He played the really long game then, because I thought this was like 100 years later. But stay
okay.
with me now.
Okay.
So, they get a fuck ton of money, right? They're
yeah.
like, okay, now we sit back and let it cook, right? Let the money cook. So, what they did is...
invest in stocks.
Essentially, they were preparing for their next heist, right?
Yeah.
But to do that, you have to wait until the attention simmers down, right? Until they're
yeah.
like,
yeah,
where is
yeah.
he? Oh, he's probably not going to come back. And that's when you rah, strike, right? So, it's 1700s. They invest part of their money in just like extending your lifespan, right?
Oh!
Until they... So they want to find the next worthy treasure. So they extend their lifespan. They like find, I don't know, a way to do it.
The Babadook of the Norway or some shit. Like some hag living
then...
in the woods. That like is a capitalist in real life. It's like, imagine you go through the woods in Norway, like mountains probably. You find this troll who knows the secret to immortality. And he's like, oh, you know, you have to go across the bridge where Troll asks you three riddles, right? And they're all algebra. You have to cross the mountain peak where you have to fight a big eagle. Then you get to this hag of the mountain. And she's like, pass 20 bucks, brother.
I like how, like, everything in their path is so hard to deal with, and she's just, like, very reasonable. Like, yeah, if you just pay me my share, then sure.
I mean, do you think we live here on just, you know, no money? Brother, there's capitalism economy right even up in this mountain.
I also have to buy my sandwiches.
Exactly. Why do you think I have to import the ingredients for my potions? Pass the money.
And half the time they don't even arrive because the person, like, running into the troll with my ingredients just gets fucking shit on.
Honestly, that's how she increases the price. Because she probably gets customers like once every 100 years. So she asks like for like, you know, half of Norway's treasury. I honestly find this idea so funny. Imagine it's a childhood story, like a legend. Where it's like, you know, 3 feet to become a hero. And the last feet is just pay up. It's so funny to me to think about this. I don't know why.
I feel like it's not even that, like, unreasonable of a thing. Like, yeah, just pay up, buddy.
Now imagine the life of that hag. Because she's like, you know, this, like, I don't know, like, moss instead of hair. Like, some, I don't know, like, green eyes. It's like this ancient being. Just goes to the nearest village to the supermarket to buy groceries once in 100 years. When she gets her payday, goes to the bar, is like, yeah, sisters! Every witch comes out the wood, oh, it's payday!
It's time for one big
going
party.
Going out with the girls.
Alright. Anyway, they extend their lifespan, right? And then a couple hundred years go by, they're still waiting for the worthy treasure. Boom. Guess what year it is, Rudy? Guess.
1900.
Correct. It's the 1980s.
Holy right? shit.
And guess what just started becoming a bigger and bigger thing over the last couple of years?
McDonald's.
I mean, you're not wrong, probably, but not quite where I was going with this.
Michelin Man.
It's movies.
Oh!
And there you go. They are now like cyber pirates. They are the ones that go to movie theaters and film them like that, you know, with a secret camera and then upload them online. And it's a very lucrative industry. Because they themselves are not necessarily earning money of it. But in doing so, they are stealing a lot of the money from the movie producers and theaters.
Imagine
so,
living for hundreds of years to become this.
It's, yeah, I don't, it's pretty funny image to be like people like battling at sea and then later like 100 years or a couple hundred years later you're just in a movie theater like I hope nobody sees this.
It's like exactly it was an Instagram thread I think at some point where we just both described two cases, me about the hag, you about the pirate, of So the thread was like, imagine as a vampire, in the movies, somebody was like, why do vampires in the movies are always depicted, if they would live in modern world, that they're super smart, super rich, and somebody was like, I mean, listen, homie, if you live for hundreds of years and don't figure out how to earn, like, good money, that good kush, then at that point,
yeah,
like, what the fuck you've been doing this whole time, right? like, you have enough time to figure out some schemes or something, right? One of them would have been successful. And we both now describe creatures who live for hundreds of years who, like, completely don't succeed at this. Our hag who gets paid, like, once in a century.
I mean, to be honest, she sounds, by the way you described her, like, she doesn't earn well. So it makes sense, you know? If your hair is moss, then... I don't know,
yeah,
it sounds
no,
like you don't have the
no,
best
no
payday.
Hair routine products. It's like, imagine once in a century you go like, oh, I have not some money to spend, let's go today, you know, to do some pedicure, manicure, call the hairdressers, she goes to the village, crazy lady, and then it's like, took out the fucking axe to trim the bush on their head.
I mean...
I would love to have a whole podcast about ancient creatures that just fail at something. Holy Jesus.
There you go.
Christ.
A pitch for your podcast expansion.
I love this bit. I love this bit, Henry. Thank you for this.
All right. Do you want to go to the resolution or do you have another theory?
I kind kind of have a thing that is not necessarily a resolution, but it could have been a resolution, because, you know, a lot of things happen in history, and I feel like this could have been the case of what happened. But I am going to tell this in a way that I like to tell these things. In a very lucrative... Yes!
Yeah, I figured when I saw your light glow or your face glow red suddenly that it was headed
fucking
that way.
Fucking bitch.
So let's hear
why,
it then.
Why do you spoil yourself of these things, Henry?
I apologize.
You better apologize.
I just did. I apologize.
Right. Actually, have I done a song in a while? I haven't done a song in a while, have I?
I mean, the last thing you did... was the, like, epic tale of, I forgot what it was, the River of Gold?
Ago. Yeah, that was cool.
That,
I like that.
That
one.
Wasn't a song. I don't remember the last song you did. I think that was a while ago at this point. Let's hear it then.
Rest assured, this wine go horribly wrong, because for the first time, I am kind of winging it.
Ooh, we do a little bit of improvisation.
Well, no, the text is there, but I haven't practiced the singing, because before I actually did practice the singing before the songs, but today I didn't have time for it.
Well, let's hear it then. Now I'm extra excited.
Hell yeah! So let's get into it. Because you know sea shanties. We all have love for some, I don't know, Inferno, Gallop, or Can-Can, however you call it, or Row, Row, Row the Boat.
Right.
But my favorite one is Drunken Sailor.
Right.
But I thought, why not take a legendary song, why not take a legendary tale, put them together, and have a legendary failure, basically.
Alright.
Let's fucking go!
Good
luck. Let me turn on this. Thank you, sir. Oh, have you heard of Henry Avery, the pirate king of the high seas? He sailed his ship to India shore to loot and plunder and so much more. Oh, what will we do with Henry Avery? Oh, what will we do with the pirate king? We'll chase him down and make him pay for his siege on Gunsawai. The town was rich, the fortress grand, but Avery and his crew had the upper hand. They took the treasure that set sail, leaving behind a trail of woe. What will we do with Henry Avery? What will we do with the pirate king? We'll chase him down and make him pay for his siege on Gunsawai. Oh, Avery was a daring man, feared by many throughout the land. But the end, he met his fate and vanished into history's gate. What will we do with Henry Avery? Or what will we do with the pirate king? We'll chase him down and make him pay for his siege on Gunsawai. Whoo!
I think that was a good effort with, like, that was some high energy singing, I will say. That was also, I'm very impressed that you didn't mispronounce the town name.
Gunsawai was a ship.
The ship name, then.
Somebody hasn't been listening.
I have been. I was.
Yeah, but okay, the resolution in reality is a lot of historians have tried to pick up the cold trail of where Avery went after changing his name, but because of history at the time and, you know, keeping papers and bookkeeping being just, you know, it's either you're on a wanted poster, and if you change your name and nobody knows who you change your name to, unless he became somebody very rich who should be wrote about, nobody was writing about him, so he's just kind of lost.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense with this kind of story. Like, if the end of the story is he goes to Ireland and he fades into obscurity, there is no real resolution, except that
exactly.
is the resolution, in a
but,
way.
Yeah, and for you pirate lovers out there, remember this name, Henry Avery, who actually succeeded at the... This is the best heist, and what actually gave romanticizing... Like, historians believe that because of this heist, pirates started becoming so, like, such a, I guess, media catch, you know?
Mm.
People started fantasizing more about them getting inspired to become pirates. Because till this point, everybody thought of pirates like, I guess, what we would think of your average thieves these days. You know, like robbers on or just on water. It wasn't a lifestyle worth going into unless, I don't know, like some circumstances in your life. But Henry Avery proved that you can be very successful if you're a pirate. And so, you know, probably indirectly... the Age of Piracy was inspired by this man.
There you go.
It is kind of... I was thinking about it, just as a side note. Imagine the high of being like, oh my god, I did this, I'm a legend now. But I have to be basically in hiding the rest of my life. You probably can't even spend the gold in just one go and like buy something big, because somebody would be asking, where did you get all this gold? Somebody would connect the dots. So you have to be smart about it. And I don't know, it's kind of like, I feel like pirate life is, you, the high point is this peak, right? And then everything else is supposed to be very grayish, and you know, it's like Barbossa said in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie last that you didn't watch. What do you want me to do? Go on an island? Have a farm? Grow cheese? I'm a pirate! It's just,
I mean,
not for a pirate.
Ironically, that is what you should do.
That is what you should do, but I feel like for those who actually enjoyed pirating, it's just they can't do it. Because once you get that high, it's probably you want to get more and more.
If you do it for the thrill of the hunt, yeah, but I feel like if you make that money, you just have to go somewhere and retire. Just like, if you just modestly spend your money, you can still be like kind of rich without like overdoing it, you know?
I mean, with the gold that he had, he was probably set for 3-4 lifetimes of his.
Yeah. No, I just mean like, you can like buy a house in a way that isn't suspiciously much in one go.
Yeah.
I just mean like, you could, I feel like, especially back then, it shouldn't be too hard, but...
This seems like the makings of those stories of what they, how they call those, like, what's the term? You know when, like, there's, like, some pompous rich families? And sometimes there's two terms they're used. One of the terms is that their family has gotten rich rather, like, you know, in the last two generations or something because their business blooming. And then there's, like, that, I don't know the exact term, but, like, old gold or whatever. That the money has been a lot in their generations for, like, you know, generations is what I'm saying.
Yeah, new money and old money.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's the term. Somehow I forget. Yeah, old money. And this is probably a starting scheme for some old money family.
I mean, honestly, it kind of is. You're not wrong.
Exactly. And also a small side note that I wanted to make, which is kind of a open-ended question. When you have a pirate ship battle, you always will make holes in both ships. How do you get to the shore? How do you not sink? How do you become successful after a battle on sea?
I mean, from what I've heard is that you take planks to the like lower decks and then you hammer the plank onto the hull and then you get a bucket and lift all the water out and you're good.
So it's Sea of Thieves.
Just eat a banana and you're all
oh,
set.
Hell yeah. Well, anyhow, thank you our adventuring listeners for listening to this episode, and I'm not gonna steal Henry's moment, so Henry, go ahead.
If you want to send us a message or talk to us in any way, shape, or form, please send a message to thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. So just the name of the show at gmail.com. If you want to send Rudy a message,
you can find me on platforms like Instagram at 000RUDYS000300, Rudy's 30s. And also, exclusively on Spotify, we have a somewhat open-ended question under each episode where you can also leave the feedback, suggestions, or if you think you're a descendant of somebody in history books named Benjamin Bridgman, but as we have found out, Henry Everett, do let us know how that old money dripping.
Let us know how that old money dripping indeed. All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a nice rest of your day. Bye-bye.